Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Mulholland. Welcome to The Upbeat, a podcast about hope and perseverance from Kelly's Angels. Today, I'm chatting with Mike and Tricia Billick of Saratoga Springs, New York, talking about finding a path forward after experiencing loss. We hope this episode will inspire surviving spouses and their children who are struggling with their new normal after the loss of a loved one. Mike and Tricia, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're glad to be here.
I appreciate your time. And Mike, let's begin with you. Let's begin at the beginning. You moved to this area from New Jersey. You were with the military at a place called Knowles Atomic. Again, this podcast is heard around the world, so we need to quantify some of this. But you met a woman in New Jersey, so presumably she moved here with you, and you got married. Her name was Kim.
Yes. So we met when we were both in, well, actually, I was in college. I was at the Naval Academy, and she had just graduated from Loyola in Maryland. We were both from New Jersey and wound up meeting down there. We got married in 97 and went through the military training protocol, and I was on the submarine out in Washington State for a few years. We were out there. We had our oldest, and then we're here in training at Knowles where we had our middle, Grace, and then moved down to D.C. for a few years. But we loved it so much here and then moved back up here in 2010. When we were down in Maryland was when we had Sam, our youngest.
And here being upstate New York, Saratoga Springs, New York. So you had Sam. What are the kids' ages now?
Maddie's 24, Grace is 22, and Sam is just turned 19.
You have to think about it.
I do have to think about it, yes.
Tell me about Kim.
It's one of those things like, you know, how long you got. But she was amazing. She was very creative. She was very artistic, loving, caring. People that met her in any situation, she would always kind of look for somebody who was looked like they were uncomfortable, not having a good time, and would reach out to them.
Empathetic then.
Very empathetic. And she, you know, just made the world around her better.
It wasn't supposed to be this way. I should point out that Tricia is your wife. I said Mike and Tricia. Tricia is your wife, and she's glowing as you talk about Kim. I should point that out. And that warms my heart to see. Tricia, let me ask you, is that difficult as you sit here today to have Mike talk about his first wife who passed? Is that difficult for you?
It's really not at all. I mean, this is how I get to know Kim, right? And I hear from friends and family all these stories and how amazing she was. And my one way of getting to know her is from people telling stories. So I love to hear about her.
You understand that some might think that that's difficult, right? Because as human beings, we can all be a little jealous, right? I mean, that's just human nature. And you as Mike's wife now might try to compare yourself, or others might try to compare yourself to Kim, who is no longer with us. You can see how some might think that's difficult, right?
But it's not for you. It's not, because the way that I see it is Mike and Kim had a love story, and then we have our own love story. So.
Amen. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more, because it wasn't meant to be that way. So when was Kim diagnosed?
So it was very fast. It was the summer of 2014, and she was a little fatigued at times, and kind of she'd sleep for 10 or 12 hours, be like, I can't quite get energy. And then it was in August and early September, she started feeling nauseous every so often. And then through September, she got more and more nauseous. And she'd go to the doctor, and at first they thought she had pneumonia and she had antibiotics, and then they thought some of the nauseousness was due to that, and back and forth. It wasn't until early October when she got a CT scan, and they found that she had a mass in her lung and a mass in her abdomen, and It progressed very, very quickly. I mean, you know, we found it was cancer in October of 2014. She passed away in January of 2015.
Boy, that is very fast. History of cancer in her family?
No.
It was out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was mesothelioma, which it's one of those things that you never know, and for decades, and then it travels very quickly.
So the children were very young when she passed as well?
Yes.
Roughly 12, 10, 8, in that range? Is that about
right?
Yeah,
I remember Sam being 10, Maddie turning 16, so Grace was 14.
Okay, 10, 16, 14. How did they deal with it?
I mean, it was, each of them dealt with it in different ways. In terms of, Sam wanted to talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
He was young, and I think that was helpful for him. Maddie and Grace were quieter and didn't necessarily wanted to talk about it a lot. And it was something where, you know, we're all trying to figure this out together and you know, not necessarily knowing how to,
no,
you know, how to deal with
There's
it.
There's no playbook.
Yeah.
And Tricia, what have you learned about grief? I'm sure you've suffered loss in your life as well.
Yeah.
Were you a little cautious when you first started dating Mike about this whole situation, having lost his wife, three children he's raising by himself? Were you cautious?
I really wasn't, to be honest. And I don't know if it's because I'm pretty confident, but being more of a support system for Mike and the kids was my main goal. So I just went into it. You know, we went in very slowly, and, you know, I just tried to be that support system for all of them, kind of like so they could vent or talk. I know there were many a times we would talk on the porch and talk about Kim.
Yeah.
Right.
And you probably, I'm guessing, you wanted to shelter the kids from that, right? At least I can. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know that I tried to hide the grief often from my kids so I wouldn't upset them. Did you do that?
I definitely did. And I, Tricia would joke about I put an umbrella over all the kids to try to protect them from the outside world. And there comes a time when that doesn't help them.
No.
And, it took me a while to realize that I needed to, if you don't deal with things in the outside world, you're not gonna learn how to, you know, how to cope.
Right, that's great advice. Tricia, you mentioned that when you first started, you wanted to help.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about how you first started, because I understand that there's an interesting story about how you began dating. You guys mind sharing that together? Cautiousness in that regard.
So we met on Match.
Match.com.
Yep. And it was one of those things where her profile came up, and I just thought she was beautiful, this great smile. And the reason her profile popped up, Match said, she's a non-smoker and you're 100% match, like, because we're non-smokers. And so I actually reached out to her. I said, well, Matt says neither of us smokes, so we're 100% match. But the funny part is the fact that she almost didn't respond back.
Right, and it had nothing to do with him being a widow, because that was right in his profile.
Oh, it was, okay, good.
Yeah, on. So I learned something about myself. So it was because he was a lawyer. And I thought, and this is terrible, but I thought his personality would be very dry. How stereotypical of me, right?
Yeah, but I can understand it, though. You might think that.
But I think when I was younger, because we went through a custody with our parents, and I had an attorney when I was younger, and he was a very dry personality. So that was my impression of, like, an attorney. So I was clearly wrong. But on his profile, I actually stumbled across a certain picture where I saw personality, and that was him in the kitchen with a goofy big smile with his daughter, like, right behind him, Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just tell they were just really enjoying the time together, and the personality just spoke volumes. And I said, I'm gonna message this guy back.
So you agreed to go out. Tell me about that. Mike, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Sure. So, we were in contact on Match for a couple weeks, and I said, well, you know, let's get together and, you know, lunch, dinner, coffee. She said coffee.
It's safer, right?
Coffee, safer. Escape plan,
yes.
You know.
15 minutes if it's not good.
Friend on speed dial.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we met at Crew Coffee, and we hit it off instantly. And I remember she had someplace else. She had to be, again, escape plan.
Yeah.
And you almost didn't make it there in time.
I was going to a theater production, and I got there just in time. They were closing the doors. But we were there for about an hour.
It was supposed to be 15 minutes.
It was hard to break away because we just instantly connected. And neither one of us could stop talking.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Second date, where was the second date, Mike?
Second date was, it's now Brick at 2 West, but it was at 2 West. Mm-hmm. And we met for drinks. And the funny part about it was, I remember we had a Whose Mother is Crazier contest.
Oh, is that right? Yes. Yes. Wait, did they know that?
They did not know that. I don't even know how we got on the topic, but we got on stories of, well, you know, my mother did this. And was like, well, my mother's crazier. And we went back and forth.
What a terrific icebreaker.
Yes.
Though,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yes.
You know. Yeah, because I'm like, might as well, let's get it out there.
Yep.
Are they still around? Are both your moms still
my
around?
My mother just passed in last October.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, my mother passed last year as well.
She did.
Yeah.
Really, I'm sorry. Who did you determine who was crazier?
My mother is a Sasquatch hunter.
Good for her.
Yeah. Like she just really got into like the aliens and UFOs and Sasquatch and like all of that. So
I remember telling a story and then she just said, my mother's a Sasquatch hunter. And I was like,
you win.
I got nothing.
Yeah, but she was wonderful.
All right, guys, thanks. We're gonna take a quick break to thank our underwriters. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Mike and Tricia Billick. Stay with us.
Support for Kelly's Angels comes from the students and faculty at South Glens Falls High School in upstate New York who hold a 24-hour marathon dance each year to benefit local charities. Kelly's Angels is proud to be among the beneficiaries of the 2022 South High Marathon Dance. We are grateful for their generosity and kindness.
Six Flags Great Escape Lodge and Indoor Water Park, an Adirondack-themed lodge in Queensbury, New York, with a splash-filled water park that is always a tropical 82 degrees for a beach-like getaway any time of year. Learn more at SixFlagsGreatEscapeLodge.com.
And from Noble Ace Hardware in South Glens Falls, New York, which offers competitive pricing and high-quality products for just about anything you need. For more than 30 years, the team at Noble Ace has delivered on its promise to be the most helpful hardware store in town by providing excellent customer service that exceeds expectations and reflects family values during each and every visit.
Welcome back to the Upbeat Podcast, a podcast about hope and perseverance from Kelly's Angels. We're talking with Mike and Tricia Billick of Saratoga Springs, New York, and we're talking about finding love after loss and how they were able to blend two families into one and move on together after a devastating loss. And Tricia, I'd like to ask you, what was the biggest challenge as it related to coming into Mike's family?
I would say one of the biggest challenges, obstacles...
Fears or concerns?
Fears, yep, is meeting Kim's family and wondering, you know, are they going to accept me, right? Because here I am, this woman walking in, and, you know, it's Kim's children, Kim's husband, and, you know, it's their daughter. So I guess meeting them was, you know, I was a little nervous about that. But I will tell you, they are amazing people. They were very welcoming. Ed and Della are fantastic, her parents, her brothers, Tim and Joe, their spouses, the kids, like everybody was just so welcoming and, you know.
Made it easier for you.
It did.
Were you concerned about that, Mike?
I wasn't because I know how welcoming they could be. Tricia is incredibly self-confident and I think this was the one time where I saw her actually be nervous about meeting somebody. But I do remember, I can't remember if it was at the wedding or after the wedding, but Ed, Kim's father, was like, we all wanted to be here. Like, we all wanted to be at the wedding, the whole family. And so, yeah, they love her, which I can't even tell you how much I appreciate and love the fact of we have this huge blended family.
Yeah, because they will forever be your children's grandparents and aunts and uncles as well. How did you know you were ready to start dating again, Mike?
Well, the short answer is I didn't. I think that, you know, I started dating too soon. From things I've read, I mean, it's not uncommon, right? You're married in a wonderful marriage, and then your best friend and wife is gone, and you're very lonely. And like, this was fantastic. I would like to do this again, right? I'd like to be in this wonderful marriage again. So I was in a couple relationships that it's one of those things where, you know, I started before I was ready.
Yeah. And you ignore the red flags too?
You ignore the red flags. You're like, wow, well, there's some red on the highway, and just keep going.
Yeah.
But it's also like you learn, and you learn what about yourself and about what, you know, what was good and what was bad. And I had to get to a point, and I got to a point where I was like, you know, I don't have to get married again. Like, if I die in 40 or 50 years and I'm not married again, I could still die happy knowing that I had an incredible marriage. And I got to that point, and I'm like, if I meet somebody for companionship who, you know, we can care about each other. And then, of course, that's right when I meet Tricia. Yeah. And she also was like, nope, you know, not getting married. I'm like, that's great. I don't need to get married. And here we are married.
How long after you started dating did you marry?
So let's see. Two years.
Yeah. What advice do you have, Tricia, for other families who might be going through something similar about how to make sure the children are comfortable? You embraced Mike's children. You can't do that overnight.
What advice do you have for others?
My goal was to build a friendship with them and be there if they wanted to talk, for any type of support, just to be that female figure for anything they may need, whether it's advice, just whatever it may be.
And you guys agreed upon that, or was that you acting unilaterally? That's what you
That's
really
me.
Wanted to do?
And I told Mike, like, he's their dad. He's the, you know, authoritative figure with them. And, you know, my focus was, I just want to, like I said earlier, be that support, right, for the kids. So that was what I decided to do.
And Mike, that's working out from your perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember Tricia telling me, like, the kids have a mom, she's in heaven, I'm not gonna be their mom, but I'd like to be their friend. I'd like to be somebody that can be there for them. They can come to me and if they need anything, and, you know, she loves them like crazy.
Did you, and if this is too personal, just say, Mark, that's too personal, but did you recognize Kim in some way at your wedding? Was there a presence of Kim when the two of you, Mike and Tricia, were married?
I think that was just from all of her family being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her children.
Yes.
Right, and her children. At what point did you seek your children's approval of Tricia, or did you have a conversation? I'm not suggesting that you sit down the old-fashioned way, like a man would go to a father and say, I'd like to have your daughter's hand in marriage, but at some point did you say to them, did you have conversations with them, casually or otherwise, what do you guys think of Tricia?
It's funny. Sam, he spent a week with Ed and Della, Kim's parents, in Delaware. And it was after that where I got a call from Della saying, we've heard so much about this Tricia. We want to meet her. Sam was a big fan. And
he was your advocate then.
Yes, yeah. He was totally my advocate. Yeah.
And Maddie's sort of that first. So when Tricia moved in, within a week or two, I had to go down to South for a trial, and Maddie was home and she was sick. And
yep, Maddie just happened to be sick. And I'm like, you know, do you want some soup? And I feel like that's where we really connected.
Yeah.
So it was good that he had to go.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
that bonding time.
Yeah.
But I involved them in the proposal. I told them I wanted to, I was going to ask Tricia to marry me. And so what did we do? It was the Jackbox games, or the Jackbox games on the TV, where there was a trivia game. And Maddie knew how to program it so you could do your own question. And they were all very excited. So we're there.
The beauty of having smart kids.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Trish and I had somewhere to be, but, you know, we came home and the kids had it all set up to do this game. They were very excited about it. And the funny part was that, because it's, you answer, you know, there's a question on your phone and it's on the TV. And when the question came up, and we're in the living room. It's not as bright as this. It was dark.
It's like 10 at night. No lights are on.
And I turn them on one knee. I have the ring. And Trisha's looking at her phone like, I don't know this movie. You know, like, is this a title of a movie? You know?
I had no idea.
But they were all there, which was really
nice. That's awesome. Yeah. That's terrific. What was the name of what was the question? Was it Will You Marry Me?
It was just Trisha, Will You Marry Me? And Trisha's like, I don't remember this movie title.
I love that. I love that.
Very unique.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love that the kids were involved.
Yeah.
And I need to tell you personally, I dated a woman a couple of years after Kelly passed, after Kelly Mulholland passed, who is the namesake of our organization, Kelly's Angels. And she wanted, and this is why I asked you that, Tricia, she wasn't comfortable having pictures of Kelly around and having conversations because we were about to start this organization as well. She felt, I think, threatened, for lack of a better term. She felt a little threatened by that. That's why I raised that. Was that, you know, was that intimidating to you? But it wasn't, it seems, because you knew how to embrace it.
Yeah. I mean, that's to your credit.
I think it's important to have pictures of Kim. We did a family tree during COVID, and there are pictures of Kim throughout that family tree, because even though she's not physically here with us, she is our family.
Yeah, she will always be part
of the
family.
That's right.
What advice do the two of you have for someone? Because I think I look at you two as a model for how this, making the best of what was an awful situation for you. What advice do you have for others who might be encountering this? And Mike, I'll start with you. What for others who are suffering from loss and grief and not knowing if they'll find love again, what's your advice?
So I would say one of the things that really helped was to talk to others that have gone through it or are going through it. It was incredibly helpful to me. I remember meeting you at a grief support group, and a friend of mine, a classmate of mine, a friend of a friend, reached out and called me. He'd lost his wife 2 years earlier, and it really helps to talk to somebody who is a little further down the road than you, and you see that they're doing okay. And it really, really gives you hope that, you know, I can be okay too, right? Because you really can't see very far down the road. And the other thing I would say is, and this is advice that a friend I spoke to on the phone gave to me, was, you know, whatever, there's no should, right? Everybody's, oh, you should do this, you should do that, you should do,
and
you
everyone know, does offer
and
every, that advice,
everyone
yes.
offers, you should not do this, you yeah, should do that, and there is no should. Whatever you need to do to get through the day, as long as you're not hurting yourself or others, that's what you do. And to talk to others and really helps bring that hope.
Yeah, that's great advice. Tricia, how about you? From your perspective, coming into Mike's situation, there are others out there who are in similar situations. What advice would you have for them?
My advice would just go into the relationship open-minded, be supportive, have open communication, and let him or her talk about the spouse that they lost. You know, I think that that's important. Because that person's always gonna be with them. And you should really take that opportunity to try to actually get to know that person, even though they're not here anymore. Because then that's also a way of connecting to your partner.
Are there similarities between, and this, again, if you're not comfortable talking about that, I understand. Are there similarities, do you find similarities between?
There are some similarities, you know, and sometimes in the creativity and definitely in just the love and the
empathy.
Empathy. Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
And the kindness.
Guys, is there anything either of you would like to add?
Gosh.
Just if, like you were saying, if for anybody that is going through this, There are groups, you know, find a grief support group. There's more books out now than there were. Actually, Ed sent me there's one called The Group, which was details seven widowers in a grief support group as they went through like a year or two.
Yeah,
and it's reading about, if you can't find somebody to talk to, even just reading about it and other people that have gone through what you've gone through helps and is helpful.
Knowing that there are others out there who have suffered similarly, or maybe suffered is not the right word, have endured similarly. Anything, Tricia, you'd like to add?
I think it's important to still celebrate the people that are no longer here. I think that's a good way of keeping them alive. And I think that it's important to still do that.
Birthdays,
right?
Mother's Day, things like that. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. For a few years, we talked about it a little bit about this earlier. I wouldn't really remind the kids that it was her birthday, because I thought that might hurt too much. And now I realize I shouldn't have done that. And you know, hindsight's 20/20. And now we do that, and because we should do that.
Do you do special things? Do you do something on Kim's birthday too? Or just to
try to have favorite foods.
Fun.
Trish brought flowers home on her birthday.
So I got her a dozen roses.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So.
And when the kids were younger and at home, would, because she used to have vanilla milkshakes, would go out early in the morning to Stewart's and get a couple of vanilla milkshakes for breakfast.
I love it. And I love you guys. And I'm so appreciative that you shared your time and your story with us. I think it will be helpful to a lot of people. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Trisha, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks to everyone for listening. I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And also, feel free to leave us a 5-star review. I'm Mark Mulholland. Until next time, stay on The Upbeat.
If you enjoy The Upbeat, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have topics you'd like us to cover on The Upbeat, please send your ideas to theupbeatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of the volunteer board of Kelly's Angels and the families we help who are facing life-threatening conditions, thank you for listening to The Upbeat.
Nice job, McKenna Rose.
Thanks, Dad. You too.